today on Real Radio.
The only way that you can need a Savior is if you realize that you're a sinner. But if you realize that you're a sinner, Jesus now can be embraced as your Savior. And if you embrace Him as your Savior, He then becomes the Lord of your life. And you, in fact, are set free from the very things that keep you now bound.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called There's No Other Gospel, begins in part one in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. How can we who are sinful by nature come to God who is holy by nature? For our sins have separated us from God, and even now sin dominates our lives. In the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul writes of his burning passion that we're only justified by faith because of Christ's work on the cross. It's not by our own works that we're sanctified, but by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners, but those who have been forgiven much, love much. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that salvation cannot come from men. Paul was concerned about the many errors of legalism, for the church was slipping into a salvation based on performance and on good works. But the call to come to Jesus and our call to ministry is not of human origin, but divine in nature. And now, in his lesson called There's No Other Gospel, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Quite frankly, many denominational churches, many, not all, but many, will avoid this book. You want to know why? It absolutely is zero tolerance of a works-centered salvation. I say, what? Well, let me put it to you this way. You know how there are some churches who talk about tithing and offering and giving and dig deeper and come on, play the music and pass the plate one more time. You know that kind of stuff? There's certain ministries that whatever they do, they won't leave that part out. Well, there are certain ministries, and very respectable, don't get me wrong, certain ministries, they won't get even into the book of Galatians because it has been found, listen carefully, to be so offensive to the work of our flesh that it challenges people's relationships with God. This is heavy stuff. Are we not supposed to go through the full counsel of God? So for those of you who have gotten kind of old and crusty in your walk with God, you've got quite a shaking coming. For those of you who have accepted Christ recently, you're going to be going, yeah, bring it on. Just pour it on me one more time. Why? Because the book of Galatians deals with our position with Jesus Christ, how we get there, how we're kept there, and the outcome of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. It is a treaty that links the sinner with the Savior. You say, sinner? Golly, Jack, I just got here. In fact, I'm visiting for the first time, and you tell me in the first 5 minutes of your introduction that I'm a sinner? Yeah, join the club. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's possible that many don't know that. We're Americans. I mean, what do you mean, sinner? I'm an American. I voted in the last election. I'm careful not to go over 55. How dare you call me a sinner? Well, the word sinner in the Greek means to miss the mark. It means to pull out your arrow. It's an archery term. Pull out your arrow, draw it back in your bow, let it go, and there's a judge, and he's watching that arrow sail through the sky, and it misses that. What color is it? Yellow? What's the color of the middle? Is it red? Is it red? It misses the red part and hits the yellow part. And in the Greek Olympics, the judge, who's standing kind of near, not too close, to the target, would then look and then yell back at the shooter, the archer, and he would say, if the guy missed the bullseye, he would say, sinner! And the guy didn't throw himself down and start crying about it. He didn't say, how dare you call me that? The The archer was a sinner. He missed. It means to miss the perfect mark. Listen. Oh, I hope you can follow this. So keep your eyes on my hand real carefully. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He cannot be your Savior unless you need a Savior. The only way that you can need a Savior is if you realize that you're a sinner. But if you realize that you're a sinner, Jesus now can be embraced as your Savior. And if you embrace Him as your Savior, He then becomes the Lord of your life. And you, in fact, are set free from the very things that keep you now bound. It's called conversion. It's what God does in the life of any man or woman who will yield their life to Him. It's the work of the Lord. And it's an amazing thing in our eyes. But for many of us, we need to be awakened to the need of having Christ as our Savior. And again, we come from a culture, we come from a world that somehow we think God is impressed with who and what we are, when in reality we have been deceived by who and what we are. How so? This way. Look with me in your Bible, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. We'll make it as far as this. Verse 1 says, Paul. Can you circle that word, Paul? Paul the Apostle. Paul was not always Paul. He was once Saul of Tarsus. Remember? He was a very, very, very zealous. Listen to this. This sounds weird. Very zealous, extremely bright Jewish scholar, a Pharisee. In fact, the book of Philippians tells us that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin. It even goes so far to say in the Bible that he was circumcised on the eighth day, which I guess in Jewish circles is like, woo-woo, you know, eighth day. Yeah, yeah. I was circumcised, he says, on the eighth day. My tribe is like the key tribe. Concerning the law, Paul said, I was blameless. Can you say that? I can't say that. The church history writings tell us that Paul was a very little man, but he must have had a huge head with training wheels underneath it because he was very arrogant. Before he came to Christ, Paul was a very arrogant man. In fact, he says concerning those who were students with him, he exceeded them all, so much so that the religious leaders in Jerusalem, shortly after the birth of the church, what did they do? They gave him letters of authority to hunt down Christians and have them killed. This is Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. Is there any hope for you? Oh, yeah. But let me suggest this. You got to realize, as you look to this book, that God loves you. You hear that all the time here. That's fine. That's great. And that's right. But you got to realize what this book is all about, that man cannot save himself, that it's the Holy Spirit that keeps you, and it's a work of God. We're going to look in a moment to three key concerns that Paul is going to lay out that threaten the churches of Galatia. Listen, Galatia, where's Galatia? It sounds kind of like some other planet, you know? Well, it's today Turkey. That's what we call it today, Turkey. It's the region just south of the Black Sea to the Mediterranean. It's encompassing a great area, by the way, very famous area, and I might add extremely beautiful. You know, Turkey's one of the most beautiful places on earth. You say, what? Oh yeah, it's beautiful. Turkey looks very much like the entire state, our state, California, so diverse, it's so beautiful. It's got tremendous oceans and snorkeling and coral reefs. It's got mountains and snow. It's got rivers. It's got deserts. Turkey, it's an amazing place. And because of that, there are an amazing amount of people and various types of people who live there. People of all various walks of life and worship. Very pagan in worship. And so what does God do? Of course, He sends the gospel to such places. The Lord loves to do that. But the whole letter is to bring specifically those people who think, now listen, who think that in their life they can somehow be acceptable to God by being a good and reasonable person. Now that sounds good to us. I mean, if someone's running for office, don't you want to vote for somebody who's, you know, trustworthy and reasonable and steadfast, you know, and yeah, vote for me. I'll never forget. I don't want to get political on you, but I'm going to anyway. Many of you, as you know, I'm an absolute news junkie and a historical freak. Many of you don't remember that in the first debates between President George H. Bush and William Jefferson Clinton, Bush said in the debate that character counted. And President Clinton said, or to be President Clinton, said, no, no, people are not, listen. Oh, I hope you challenge me on this, because I got it memorized. President Clinton said at the time, running for president, said, no, people don't care about character, people want change. Ugh. Change? At the expense of character? Wow. Listen, the book of Galatians is a book that works in our lives a character that is of the heart of God, that a sinner is saved by the grace of God. Us putting our faith in what God has done saves us. And this is what cuts against the grain of, listen, a person who is religious. Because you see, when we're religious, we're respectable. I have character. I've got a Bible. In fact, I own a couple of them. First of all, show me an American home that doesn't, for crying out loud. By now, Grandma certainly has shipped you a Bible. I mean, I think Americans have got more Bibles in their houses than anybody on earth. But do we read them, is the question. No, you see, Paul was extremely respectable. He was so zealous for Judaism and believing that he was doing God a service that he would even go to the point of killing Christians. He oversaw it. If you could be guilty of it more, he oversaw. He supervised the killing of Stephen in the book of Acts. Can you imagine? This is the man that God targets to save. We've all sinned. My daughter asked me the other day, hey, Dad, what's the deal? I saw a parent in the store with a little kid, and the little kid was laying on the floor screaming and crying and kicking his feet because he wasn't getting the toy that was there for sale. And the parent was just standing back, just shaking his head, kind of, no. What was going on, Dad? My teenager asked me this. What's going on? I'm thinking, hey, here's my golden moment to instill some bit of wisdom, you know? And it instantly made me think about them when they were little. They weren't allowed to do that. And this kid's, oh, oh, crying, kicking. And the parents going, I said, well, first of all, what you want to do, first of all, that poor man, my foot, that man who created that boy should take him home and begin to now, and he's got to do it gently, instruct him in the ways of loving discipline. But listen, I got to tell you, when we grow up, even when there's a little tiny kiddo, your little kiddo starts to test you. You know how they do it? And you wonder as a parent, where does this come from? When you say, now, Junior, don't touch this, okay? Don't touch that. That guy can be like 1.5 year old. He'll go like this. He may not even understand the word touch. He just looks at you and he just goes, I'm going to challenge your authority right now. And he'll go like this and he'll reach for it, won't he? And don't touch that. Now, we learned from reading one of the James Dobson books that you go like this. Especially in public, it works great. And what that means is they're out there exploring around. Now, whatever you do, don't cross that line. They get right over there on it. It's great because there's going to be a crowd of people. They don't have a clue what's going on. And your little one's just about ready to break that vase or whatever it is in your neighbor's house. And you go like this. And they're like this, and they're like this, and they're like this, and here's the deal. Listen, they are little sons of Adam and Eve. That's what they are. They're little sinners. They're as cute as a button, but they're sinners. And they're reaching, and they're testing. You think it's just for fun? They could play with toys if it was for fun. They're going, come on, take me on. Are you man enough to stop me from taking this? Can you imagine there a little guy standing there in a diaper with a cigar? He's, come on! And he's reaching. Where do we get that from? It's in our nature. It's in our sinful nature. Now, you grandmas are saying, not my grandbaby, your grandbaby. I dedicated a little guy this morning, Jacob. Cutest little guy. He's a little sinner. We're born like this. You've got to teach a kid to tell the truth. Who taught them to tell a lie? Now look, when you get caught, this is what you say. We don't teach them that way. It's in our blood. We are S-I-N positive, every one of us. We're prone to it. And the book of Galatians is going to bring to us the law. And it's going to show what God demands of every human being. Perfection. And we're going to go, how are we going to make it to heaven? And this same book is going to teach us that Jesus Christ stepped in and took upon him the demands of the law, dying on the cross and setting us free. Amen. And the moment he does that in your life, you are no longer interested in being religious or being whatever. You now are enraptured with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's incredible. It's awesome. It's a great thing. But you got to know it. Paul, that's a tremendous word, because Paul, who said of himself that he's the chief of sinners? Do you think he was lying when he said that? Paul the Apostle says another place in the Bible that he was the chief of sinners. You say, well, Paul must have been exaggerating. No, Paul was converted to Christ. And for every one of us, I mean, look at me. Look at me. I am the chief of sinners. You say, not you. Yeah, me. You see, because what that implies is I'm to own up to my sin personally. I can't do anything about yours. You can't do anything about mine. Paul, before God, was the chief of sinners. Every Christian knows that before God, they are the chief of sinners. But here's the deal. Because Jesus died for us, he has set us free from our sin, and now we are declared righteous in Jesus Christ. So here's the deal. We don't walk around going, oh man, I got so much. I'm a Christian now, but boy, am I filled with guilt. Oh man, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, but boy, is it heavy. I'm a sinner. No, we run around. What did Jesus say? The person who has sinned the most loves the most. A converted life. Do we still sin? Rick, I know you still sin. We still sin. Do we want to? No. Do we wake up, man, all right, I'm going to pull up some big sin today. The Christian doesn't think like that because we've been converted. Paul was converted. And he became the apostle to the Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's mostly us. And Paul's message is to liberate, but we got to know it. Before we dive into this, and don't panic, this is all introduction today. So you're going to, you know, where are we going? Chapters 1 to 10? We're going to read verse 1 here, okay? And we'll do really good if we get that done. It says there, Paul, verse 1, an apostle, look, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That right there. Paul is now a messenger, Anglios, one who is sent out. And his message is this, that God saves. But note what he says concerning the work of the Spirit of God. He says this, it is of God. He says in parentheses there, not from men. This is great. Now hang on to your seats. It means this, man has no authority to impart to another man the call of apostleship and salvation. I cannot say, you know what? Because I like you, you're saved. I can't say that. By the way, doesn't that break some of our hearts who we have loved ones? Don't you wish we could do that? Have you ever cried and wept for your brother or sister, or your mom or dad or whatever, to the point where you're so caught up into the travail for their soul that they might be saved, that if at some moment you would even exchange your salvation that they might be saved? Have you ever been there? You're praying for them so hard. You're so sick to your stomach. Maybe you've been crying your guts out. And now you get a glimpse of what Paul and Moses both said. God, please take my place in eternity and put their life instead of mine. Lord, I'll go to hell for them. Just get them in, God, please. Moses prayed. Paul prayed. But there's no need for that. Jesus paid the price. But also, not only that, not from men. Salvation cannot come from man. Listen, nor is the work, the call of the ministry from man. Say, what? I mean, aren't you guys like a real church? Can't you ordain people? We can ordain people till the cows come home. In this community, that's a literal thing. You know what? Do you know what true ordination really, really means? Ordination really means that we recognize that God's hand's upon you and that He has ordained you into the ministry, so we agree, and then we write up a document so the state of California and the federal government will be happy. We are to discern if God's hand is on you. Is God working in your life? Do you have the calling upon your life to evangelize or to preach or to be a pastor teacher or whatever it is that would require ordaining, the laying on of hands? But see, the flesh wants to make it a big deal. That's why over the last 40 years, Calvary Chapel's been a real pain to a lot of denominations. Because you know what? They got these sweet guys, wonderful preachers, by the way. I don't get it. I feel kind of bad for them at times. These guys have worked their hearts out. They've gone to 4, 5, 6 years of school. They got their doctorate. They went through their program. They started a church. They got a doctorate of divinity. They've got all these various incredible credentials. And they can't get 5 people to come to their church. And the poor guy, you wonder, oh, man, somebody please go to that guy's church. And then some nut gets saved at Calvary Chapel or whatever, you know. You got guys like Steve Mays, you know, I was just there preaching Thursday night. The church is exploding.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called There's No Other Gospel. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you truly understand that we are saved by faith and not by anything we do. There's No Other Gospel, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that defines the struggles we endure between faith and works and the doctrine of justification, which is promised to every true believer. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, we just recently finished up our Life and Times of Jesus Christ series. Now, you can pick up this series on a USB thumb drive. We'll be glad to send that to you for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Get a hold of us and tell us that you would like the USB thumb drive of the series called The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. What a great series. We know for a fact that this series made a big difference in a lot of folks' lives. So if you've got somebody in your life that you think might enjoy the series, get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and ask for your copy of the Life and Times of Jesus Christ series on the USB thumb drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org for all the info you need. Hey, don't forget that tonight is the Happening Now events on Facebook Live. We're doing this especially for our Real Radio and Sirius XM listeners because of the overwhelming response we got from you wanting more Bible prophecy content from Pastor Jack. So be sure to tune in tonight, 7 o'clock Pacific time, on Pastor Jack's Facebook page, or just simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the link right there. And don't forget to have some questions ready to text in during the event. Once again, go to our website for the Happening Now events on Facebook Live. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org for all the info. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.